Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
It's good to see you here today. Last week it was snowing at this time, and this week it's not snowing. It's warm. It's melting. It's good, and the snow is off the roof enough so that we felt it was safe to come in the back door. All week we've been watching this huge amount of snow on the roof on both ends of the building, and I guess it fell off yesterday, so there's still some up there, but a lot of it, and we don't have any drips inside, folks. It's good news. Good news. Property trustees are very happy. No, there's something going on in the kitchen up here, but we think that's coming through the wall. Well, maybe up above, but whatever. Not like we don't have buckets all over the place, and that's very good news. So it's good to have you here as we gather for worship this day. It's a long weekend for some. It's a holiday, a week of vacation for students, for many. But it's good to be gathered here for worship today. And extend a special welcome to those who are visiting today. If it's your first time here, please let us know about that. We want to make sure that we make sure that we acknowledge that if it is your first time here. I want to invite you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship right next door in the kitchen. And you'll note on page 4 of the bulletin, the calendar for this week, and you'll note the mission board is meeting after church today. Our weekly Bible study is on Tuesday, and we have our monthly worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center on Tuesday afternoon at 2. On page 5, the next page in the inside back cover, you'll note a couple other announcements there. We will be having Ash Wednesday service, and yes, it's coming up, folks. It's March 1st at lunchtime, noontime here, and there'll be a light lunch served after the service. And a memorial service for Keith Berry will be held on Saturday, March 4th at 11 here at the church. And also the challenge from the American Baptist Women's Ministries for White Cross funding to support Tom and Terry Myers in Bulgaria. And we've received $140 towards the $225 challenge goal right now. So there are special envelopes up front if you'd like to use one of those to make a special gift for White Cross, the American Baptist Women's Ministries. We've been having a lot of offerings lately. Good news here, we've met our goal for retired ministers and missionaries offering of $500. And thank you to all who made contributions to that. Also, as I announced last week, the Super Bowl of Caring, which we took on the first Sunday of this month, it was going directly to Bread of Life, was at $214, which was above last year. You met the challenge. I announced at the annual meeting we were a little shy, and folks came up with a little more money. So by the end of the annual meeting, we did have more money than we had last year. So thank you very much to all who have been very generous so far this year in our mission projects. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 688 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from both the New and Old Testaments as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship to let us read responsively from God's holy word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So let the man of God be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
The word of God is living and active.
Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow.
It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
The unfolding of your words gives light.
It gives understanding.
We do rely on God's word, and we've come to hear God's word and to listen to it, but also to apply it to our lives. Our opening hymn this morning is Father, Speak Your Word Again, number 690. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing. Let's pray together. God, we have come this morning to hear again the message of your steadfast love, reminding us that you have not given up on us. For all of our shortcomings, for all the grief that we must cause you, we are thankful that you welcome us into your house with open arms. Speak to us again words of courage, strength, hope, compassion, and love. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn in your bulletin to pages 2 and 3 for our responsive reading this morning, which will be from selected verses from the book of Proverbs. And I invite you to read responsively with me. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword.
But the wisely spoken words can heal.
A gentle answer quiets anger.
But a harsh one stirs it up.
Kind words bring life.
But cruel words crush the spirit.
Kind words are like honey.
Sweet to taste and good for your health.
What you say can preserve life or destroy it.
So you must accept the consequences of your words.
If you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say.
False accusations is
the deadliest
sword, a club, or a
sharp arrow. Charcoal keeps the embers glowing, wood keeps the fire burning.
And troublemakers keep arguments alive.
You have to hate someone to want to hurt him with lies.
Insincere talk brings nothing but ruin.
You can be ruined by the talk of godless people.
But the wisdom of the righteous.
These are Proverbs, selected verses, and that's going to focus, segue into my sermon later, talking about the words that we use and how we use them, and so I wanted to include that. So we're going to now to spend a few moments in prayer and share celebrations and concerns with one another. And
we celebrate today because Peggy Blum's back with us after being sick and out for several weeks, so Peggy back with us. And I spoke with Paul Patry this week, and Paul's doing okay, continues to be at home and having physical therapy, getting a little stir-crazy at times, but he's doing okay. In fact, I thought he might be here today, but I don't see him. But also we want to keep David Tolstrup in prayer. David continues to be at Glen Ridge in hospice care, and Barbara's there most days with him. Some of the sons were coming in this week to visit as well. And so we want to keep David in prayer today. We want to continue to keep May Upperman, who is at home as well. And Alan Rideout is a man who comes to our Bible study and feeding ministry and also comes to our special services. And Alan called me this week and has been sick for over a week now and been at home and not feeling well. And he was seeing a doctor on Thursday, and I don't know what the prognosis was out of that. But we want to keep Alan in prayer as well. And also, when I talked to Paul this week, he did tell me that Megan and his daughter Megan and her husband Derek are expecting their third child this week. So we want to celebrate with them and pray for a safe birth. Also, we do want to keep Reverend Joy Alderman in prayer. Last month, as we were receiving the retired ministers and missionaries offering, we had pictures of folks that are connected with our church that are retired American Baptist clergy or missionaries. And Joy was one of those. Joy was a minister here back in the 60s and early 70s, I think. Did a lot of visitation, but also worked with the youth, and is now at home. She's been in the hospital with pneumonia, but is at home now under hospice care as well. But there are some youth from back in the 70s, I guess, or I don't know exactly when, that are now ministering to Joy. They don't necessarily live nearby, but they live across the country. But between cards and calls and some with visits and just lifting her up in prayer, but also supporting her in this time. So it's really like a turnaround, how she ministered to them and now they are ministering to her. So we want to keep Reverend Joy Alderman in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Betty?
A celebration, my granddaughter, Buddy's oldest daughter, has a birthday tomorrow.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else have a celebration or concern? Peggy?
Keep Phyllis in prayer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phyllis hasn't been here for a few weeks, so we want to keep Phyllis in prayer as well. Lisa?
I have a friend in Zonda who's in the hospital, and her foot is, she's got a real problem with her foot. She may lose it, so she's been moved to rehab, and we're hoping for the best, but we can keep Karen in prayer.
Karen, we want to keep Karen in prayer that has problems with her foot, okay. Anyone else? In Marilyn?
My friend Judy is,
yes.
She's in the hospital.
Okay.
Something new again, but she's always having some challenge.
Okay, so we want to keep Judy in prayer. Richard, I saw your hand up too.
Well, Doreen and I celebrate the marriage of our youngest daughter on Valentine's Day.
Yes, Gail was married this past Tuesday.
And they're off to Barbados this morning.
That's one of the celebrations, so we do celebrate that as well.
We do.
Yes. Anyone else have a prayer request? Irene.
My friend Eleanor, she's mm-hmm. been in rehab now 6 weeks. She's starting to get a little bit of movement now, but walking a little bit.
Still can't put any weight off.
It's going to be a while.
So I'm lucky that one in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. We thank you for the privilege of coming here today to worship you. Some of us have traveled many miles, and others may have just walked down the street. No matter how long it took us to get here, or how many miles or yards we traveled, Lord, it's good to be here as part of this body of Christ this day, in this your house. And Lord, as we've come together, we lift up those whom we have mentioned in prayer, both out loud asking for prayers, but also those who we've prayed for silently to you, Lord. We just lift them up to you, Lord, and just help them to know that we are praying for them today. Help them to feel our presence through prayer with them. We pray that your spirit may be with them. We pray especially for those who are ill today, oh God. And just pray for healing according to your will in each of their lives. Or if there's some way that we can reach out and minister, we pray that you would, give that wisdom and give that ability to us. We pray, oh God, for this day, for those who are in sorrow, who are missing a loved one today. Lord, it may be a recent death, but it may also be an anniversary. Or it may be something that's brought to mind, a loved one who is no longer with us. And Lord, we just thank you for those loved ones that have gone before us. We just pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with those who are hurting out of mourning this day as well, oh God. Lord, we do pray for our nation. We lift up our elected leaders, and we lift up those who have been appointed. Lord, we just pray that, whatever is best for our nation, and those are the decisions that can be made. Lord, we pray not only for our nation, but we also pray for our world. We know that we cannot live independently, but we are interdependent upon one another these days. And Lord, we just lift up those areas, especially where there is war and where there is fighting and violence. And we pray for peace in those areas, O God. And Lord, we now pray as, and I'm going to use the words of Queen Mary Stuart of Scotland, these words, O God, and we lift these up to you. Keep us, O God, from all pettiness. Let us be large in thought, in word, in deed. Let us be done with fault-finding and leave off all self-seeking. May we put away all pretense and meet each other face to face, without self-pity and without prejudice. May we never be hasty in judgment and always be generous. Let us always take time for all things and make us grow calm, serene, and gentle. Teach us to put into action our better impulses, to be straightforward and unafraid. Grant that we may realize that it is in the little things of life that create differences, but in the big things of life, we are as one. And, O Lord God, let us not forget to be kind. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. We have read scripture together this morning. We've sung, we've prayed. We have an opportunity now to worship God by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we do lift our voices in praise to you, and we offer these tithes and gifts to you also, and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Dave Latta will be coming and reading the scripture this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. My friends, not many of you should become teachers. As you know, we teachers will be judged with a greater strictness than others. All of us often make mistakes. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and is also able to control his whole being. We put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey us, and we are able to make it go where we are able, and we are able to make it go where we want. Or think of a ship, big as it is, and driven by such strong winds, it can be steered by a very small rudder, and it goes wherever the pilot wants it to go. So it is with the tongue. Small as it is, it can boast about great things. Just think how large a forest can be set on fire by a tiny flame. And the tongue is like a fire. It is a world of wrong occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being. It sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself. We humans are able to tame and have tamed all other creatures, wild animals and birds, reptiles and fish. But no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. It is evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. We use it to give thanks to our Lord and Father, and also to curse other people. Who are created in the likeness of God. Words of thanksgiving and of cursing pour out from the same mouth. My friends, this should not happen. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. A fig tree, my friends, cannot bear olives. A grapevine cannot bear figs. Nor can a salty spring produce sweet water. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the disciple James, words that if we weren't nodding our head outside, we probably inside were saying, yes, that's true. Yeah, that's right. But Lord, sometimes it's hurtful and painful to admit that we see ourselves in Scripture, especially when it's corrective Scripture. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us not only this day, but will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Perhaps it was words expressed in anger or gossip about someone that got back to the person that you never intended for them to hear about it, or even an offhand remark that was taken the wrong way. We're not alone. Many famous people, especially in the sports, entertainment, and political worlds, have been caught off guard by words they made. Oftentimes, they thought they were speaking privately, but later learned that a microphone was nearby and was turned on, receiving every word, which is now public. While some of these examples may make us smile, they are the exception. Many of these gaffes that go viral contain profane, sexist, racist, or combative language. They have ruined political campaigns, careers of reporters, and even strained international relations. It doesn't matter who we are, how much money, education, or status we have. We are all prone to putting our proverbial foot in our mouth. All of us have experienced the power of words. What we say can embarrass us. It can hurt others or us, and it can devastate relationships. This is the lesson today's scripture is trying to teach us. For example, a few examples. At a local restaurant, you've been chatting with a close friend about your relationship with a co-worker who annoys you. Suddenly, you notice one of the co-worker's closest friends is seated at a nearby table. How much of your complaints did she hear? During a text conversation with your best friend, you vent about your spouse's recent detachment and other shortcomings. A few minutes later, in a sudden moment of panic, you grab your phone to confirm that text indeed was sent to your friend and not to your spouse. While chatting after worship about a recent decision made by one of the church boards, with which you disagree, you notice another church member who appears to have been listening intently. Immediately, you begin reviewing the conversation in your mind, hoping you did not say anything that they might find insulting. These types of situations not only cause embarrassment, they can do real damage. Friendships are lost, marriages are strained, work environments are made uncomfortable, and church disputes become heated because of careless words. Once leaving our lips, our words are out of our control. They are like the examples of we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, and the bell cannot be unrung, and the train has left the station. All those idioms, those sayings. Our words that may not go viral like some of the famous people's do, but they may go virus, infecting more people than we would care to know. Like a bit in a horse's mouth that James uses as an image, or the rudder of a ship, James teaches us that our tongues can lead us places we do not want to go. Then he reminds us that the damage can be far more catastrophic. As a tiny fire can grow out of control and destroy everything around it, so too can a careless word wreak havoc upon relationships and reputations. James' message in today's text is nothing more than a call to choose between words that hurt and words that heal. Larry David, co-creator of the iconic television show Seinfeld and star and creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm, once attended a baseball game at Yankee Stadium. When they put his face up on the big screen, the crowd spontaneously stood and cheered for this hometown Brooklyn boy. Later that night, as he was leaving the stadium with his friends, things changed. Someone yelled from a passing car that David was terrible. His friends say that the accolades of 50,000 cheering fans paled in comparison to one loose tongue. The rest of the night, all he could think about was the one who did not like him. While Larry David is rather famously known to be neurotic, we get the idea. The power of negative words is enormous. We know that all too well. Despite all of our accomplishments in adulthood, a parent's careless word spoken 30, 50, or even 70 years ago can still sting. The uninformed opinion of a teacher still affects our decisions, even though we have a successful career. Although others have told us how gifted we are, a bad performance review, whether it was formal or even informal, still echoes years later. Those words are amplified in our hearts. In an honest moment, we would also confess that we've done the same to others. For example, an out-of-control moment with our children, and we may say something that may affect them for decades. Or those times when we said something we knew would push our spouse right over the edge. Or the mean words we said to a friend under the guise of honesty. But like a viral video of a famous person's gaffe or a small flame that grows into a raging fire, our words once spoken are out of our control. The damage can be devastating. But fortunately, our words can also be used to bless, as James notes in today's scripture. They can be used to bring healing to injured souls. Every word we speak falls into one of three categories. They're either emotionally hurtful, emotionally neutral, or emotionally healing. Because we use language to report or pass on information, much of our speech would fall into the emotionally neutral category. But we need to think about those other groups of words that we use. And where would we place the bulk of the other words that we speak? Are they emotionally hurtful and harmful? Or are they emotionally healing? Some of us might try to dismiss James's warnings in today's text about our words by noting that it addresses this admonition specifically to teachers. While we may not consider ourselves teachers, there are times when our words carry that kind of authenticity and authority. But as a parent, as a mentor, as a supervisor or a role model, we too have teaching roles. James might be saying that if the principle of conversational discretion applies to the general population, it applies even more to those who are teaching. If we expect those outside of the teaching profession to use their words wisely, then teachers themselves must be absolutely above reproach in terms of their speech patterns. Toward the end of this passage that Dave read earlier, James shifts metaphors and illustrates that our words tell the world something about our hearts. Like the fruit tells us about the tree, and the water downstream tells us about the source, our words say something about us. When we have assumed a teaching role, our words not only represent us, but our whole group, which sometimes is all of Christianity. Before posting or sharing, tweeting or chatting, We need to measure our words to be sure that we are representing Jesus Christ in the best way that we can. As our words have power to destroy, they also have the power to strengthen, to encourage, and to affirm those whom we love. Now, while Larry David may have missed the accolades of the faceless crowd of 50,000, the right words from the right person can do amazing things for us. The words of a parent who reminded us that we were still loved after getting dumped by our first boyfriend or girlfriend are remembered. The words of a mentor encouraging us to take that next step because they see our talent and ability still prod us along. The words, "I love you," from the lips of our spouse still have the ability to make our day, no matter what else is going on. And as the people of God, we are called to be those people for someone else. When we come together on a Sunday morning to praise God, to unite our voices in prayer, and together profess our faith through hymns, we are using our tongues in service to God. After worship, when we encourage one another over a cup of coffee or punch, we welcome a visitor, we catch up with someone we haven't seen in a few weeks, we are, in the words of James, sharing a blessing. But it does not stop there. When we compliment the work of someone we supervise at the office, when we offer a word of encouragement to someone who is supervising us, when we leave a note of appreciation for our waiter or waitress at the restaurant, when we compliment the youth and children in our church, which we don't have a lot of, but the few that we have, or the children and youth in our neighborhoods, when we do this, we are living out our calling as being followers of Jesus Christ. Our tongues are powerful tools. We must use our words wisely. Let us always speak in such a way that we never fear having the words come back and hurt us or others. Watch your tongue, James said. Watch your mouth. Watch your words. And may we do this always. Let's pray together. Lord, we must confess at times the words get out of our mouths before we can close our lips. Lord, we ask for forgiveness when we have hurt someone with our words. Lord, help us to be mindful of the power that we have within our speech, how we can hurt, but also how we can help, how we can heal situations and heal others. Lord, help us as followers of Christ to always be mindful of the words that we use and how we use them, so that we'll always be to strengthen and build and not to tear down or hurt. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the back page of the bulletin, "Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak."
As you have sought, so let me.
benediction, I'm going to use words adapted from Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a British journalist, and let us pray. O God, stay with us. Let no word cross our lips that is not your word. No thoughts enter our minds that are not your thoughts. No deed ever be done or entertained by us that is not your deed. May your Spirit guide and direct us now and always. Amen.